Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Final hour of Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll get back into Ron Rivera, Jack Del Rio being introduced in Ashburn today in just a few minutes. But we do have an opportunity here at the top of the hour, kicking off the big one at one, to look at the playoff bracket, which is now set, and the four games we've got coming up this weekend. I know you're like me, Danny. I get so excited for the NFL playoffs. This is my time of the year, man. I wish every now and then the Redskins not only were playing in one of these games.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Maybe favored and had a chance to go on a deep run. Maybe they had a bye one year and didn't have to play in the opening round. Something crazy like that.
Just something nuts.
Oddly, you saw the schedule, I'm sure. Saturday, AFC. Sunday, NFC. Didn't it used to be 1-1? Saturday, you'd get one game from each conference. Sunday, you'd do the same.
I'm going to be speaking out of school here, but I think so.
Now, maybe this is just random, or in the past it wasn't dictated that it had to be 1-1. But on Saturday, so in 2 days, we've got the Bills and the Texans, 4:35. The Titans and the Patriots at 8:15. Doubleheader East times, obviously, for you here in D.C. But the Texans basically are now the Saturday afternoon playoff game.
Aren't they?
That time slot should be renamed in their honor.
The Bill O'Brien slot?
They always lose, and they always play on Saturday afternoon. They're at home against Buffalo. They probably should win that game, I would think, with Deshaun Watson being ahead of Josh Allen in his development, if you just want to go quarterback versus quarterback and who's going to help their team more. But I love that Bills defense. They've run the ball okay. And Josh Allen's an athlete, man. He's not quite Deshaun Watson, but he makes a lot of plays with his feet, makes two or three throws a game that make you think he's coming on. He's better than people thought he'd be as a sophomore. Not an accurate passer all the time.
Playmaker more than quarterback,
Not a great efficient guy yet, but he's made major strides. Bills-Texans will be fun at 4:35 on Saturday.
That's the one. I'm excited about that. I feel like that Titans-Patriots game is just built for boredom. I think it's like 17-14.
I think it'll be a great game, though.
And it might end up being good, but to me, I want some of that back and forth. You know, I feel like it's going to be more exciting. The late game, maybe I'm wrong, but the NFC games are the ones where I'm going, give me this. It's a nice appetizer on Saturday. Sunday's where the meat is.
So Titans-Patriots, I didn't realize this. I was doing a little research on Tennessee the other night. They have the best offense in the league in terms of efficiency. Essentially, since
Tannehill took over.
Tannehill took over, but really more accurately for the last like 6 weeks or so. They're number one in almost everything. Yards per play, yards per pass. I want to say yards per attempt in the running game. Derrick Henry's been unconscious. The Patriots' defense is a juggernaut. They're going to have their hands full with Tennessee. Have you seen their rookie wide receiver, the only guy who had more yards this year?
That's a bad man.
Than Terry McLaurin with
A.J.
Brown.
Catch and run, A.J. Brown.
Beast. So this is a team that's underrated, coming out of the AFC South, and New England, you don't get your bye. You don't get your home games throughout the playoffs. When they make the Super Bowl, it's because they don't have to play an extra playoff game and they're always at home. It's not the case this year. They've never won the Super Bowl in these situations, ever. And they're not going to this year, in my opinion. That offense has been fraudulent since day one.
Yep.
I would not be surprised if the Titans knock them off. I'll pick New England to win a game. I think they lose next weekend.
Yeah, they're at home, and I feel like they're just going to figure it out.
But would it stun you if Tennessee beat them?
No, it wouldn't. And I know it's probably famous last words, because here's what the Patriots do. They'll look vulnerable somehow, some way. It'll be snowing in Foxborough. All their fans are yelling. And next thing you know, they're in the AFC title game, even though there are wrinkles, even though some people have jumped ship and said, this is the end of Tom Brady. This is the end of the run. And next thing you know, they're really good. It's going to end sometime. I don't know if it's this year.
Enough Julian Edelman, maybe a special teams play or a defensive
action. Yeah, somehow, some way.
Kyle Van Noy returns a fumble 51 yards.
That's right. Or a linebacker catches a touchdown. Ellington Roberts. And everyone goes nuts like it's the first time it's ever happened.
The other game, though, as you kind of move along in the schedule. So those are the Saturday games. You pivot to what you're more excited about, which is Sunday. I think that the Saints hosting the Vikings could end up being the worst playoff game of the weekend.
Biggest line, biggest gap.
What is it right now?
Seven and a half or eight, depends on your book.
Okay. New Orleans, to me, is the best team in the NFC. They didn't get a bye week. The Vikings, on the play that ended inches shy of the goal line in that Seahawks 49ers game, went from going to Seattle to having to go to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. I think they would have beat the Seahawks. Instead, you now have to go to the Superdome and play Drew Brees. I don't see any situation where Minnesota wins. Maybe they keep it close. If Dalvin Cook plays and looks healthy, it's a different football team. Kirk Cousins has had a heck of a season, had a bad game to wrap things up against Green Bay when they were trying to catch them in the division. But I think the Saints, who are heavy favorites, probably win this game by 9 or 10 points.
I don't have a good explanation for what I'm about to say. I don't. I feel like this is going to be closer than people think.
Well, you also have kind of labeled the Vikings, even as the year's gone on, you've said they're a Super Bowl contender. Maybe it's the running game. I don't know. I just don't think their defense is that good.
Yeah,
I don't know how they stop Michael Thomas. They can't really cover elite wide receivers. I can't see it, but you think it's close.
I do. And again, I have no good explanation. I do think New Orleans is going to win this game. But that line reeks to me of something you should bet Minnesota to cover. And again, I don't do that, so it's not my money. So if you want to do that, Godspeed. Just there's something about them, something about Minnesota that I like. I think they're better than the sum of their parts. People are going to do the Kirk Cousins in a big game thing, and that's fine. Win or lose, he may play well, he may play poorly. But
yeah.
I feel like Minnesota's not going to get to where they could because it's just such a rough go of it in the NFC. There are three, or really four, excellent teams.
They got the worst possible matchup.
But
they
that's it. That's the worst draw.
They could have had San Francisco on the road, outdoors. It being indoors is not a problem. That's helpful. But it would have been, I think, an easier environment to play in than New Orleans. Seattle, instead, is on the road because they lost by inches against the 49ers. And they're at the Eagles. That's the second game. It's a 1:05 kickoff in New Orleans, 4:40 East time at Lincoln Financial. The Eagles, I believe, are still favored against the Seahawks.
That line is swung, so now it's a buck and a half for Seattle.
Point it
and
is
a half
now?
Favorites. Yes.
They opened as, I think, like 2-point favorites.
Opened as a point or 2-point favorites in a lot of places.
I don't see how anybody would feel good and confident in putting money on the Eagles. Carson Wentz gets no credit. He has had a tremendous season without his number one, number two wide receivers. Recently, without Zach Ertz being healthy, they're down to basically their third running back at times. Some guy named Boston Scott is running all over the place, and Wentz just keeps making plays, and everyone keeps saying they should have kept Nick Foles. I don't understand any of that.
No wide receivers. You know, your best tight end is hurt, so Goddard steps in. He's a good backup, but, man, it's not the same.
Whoever wins this game will get slaughtered next week. I don't think either of these teams is that good.
So the Seattle part of it is, I think, why you saw Philadelphia favored, even by a little bit. They lost three or four down the stretch and didn't look
good.
Well,
they also don't have Chris Carson.
Well, yeah, 82-year-old
Marshawn Lynch, their offense is going to go through him on
Sunday.
Good
point. They haven't looked right either. And defensively, all of a sudden, you're giving up 30 points, basically, every week. You're losing, you know, you get up 30, 28, 24, 27, 26. And it's not as if they're just nothing but offensive juggernauts. Their one win over their last 4 weeks was against Carolina, who is pretty much one of the worst teams in the league here down the stretch. So you don't feel that confident in Seattle. Again, that's a group where you think Russell Wilson's going to do some magic. If Clowney's healthy, it helps their defense, obviously. But I just don't trust them. I do not trust Seattle. I don't trust Brian Schottenheimer. I think he wants to go down running the football like he did against Dallas so they could lose in the postseason like they did last year. I don't know, man. But there's something about them that doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. Even though I thought they played pretty well against San Francisco and could have won that game to close out the season, just the Cardinals game you can't unsee. Got the doors blown off by the Rams a couple weeks ago. They haven't looked like they did for the first, I'd say, 12, 13 weeks of the year.
Bills, Texans. Who you got?
I think the Texans win the game. I think Watt's going to play, which is going to make a difference. And I think Deshaun Watson pulls one out of his tuchus.
I can't really go chalk, so I'm going to take Buffalo. I think it's a toss-up. I'll go the Bills. Titans, Patriots. I'm sticking with the Pats.
Yeah, give me the Pats.
The squeaker. It's 20-17 New England.
I agree with that. similar type score, like a 19-15 type weirdness.
Saints beat the Vikings 30-20.
I think it's a field goal at the end of the game. 27-24, Saints.
And then I'll say Seahawks, Russell Wilson, dramatics, beat the Eagles at Lincoln Financial. That's going to be 23-20.
I think, because it would really annoy me, I think Philly wins
really this
game. There's no good reason for it. I don't think they're as good as the Seahawks. But again, I'm just looking at the way the Seahawks have played recently. I think this is one big redemption game for Carson Wentz. I think Ertz will play. I think they win. A close one.
I know the Saints could win the Super Bowl. Is any of the other 8 teams playing this weekend at risk of making a Super Bowl run? If I was to tell you right now, someone other than New Orleans is going to hoist the Lombardi Trophy that we're going to watch Saturday or Sunday, pick the team.
New England. I mean, it's safe and cheap and easy. Again, this is not based on the evidence of this year. It's not. They are not a Super Bowl-looking team. Defensively, they are. I mean, defensively, they're as good as anybody in the last several years. You just figure it's just one last ride, right? It's one last pull magic out. Some guy you've never heard of catches 4 touchdowns down the stretch. Like N'Keal Harry all of a sudden is unstoppable come postseason time. They always have somebody.
I'd go with the winner of the Houston-Buffalo game, probably.
Could do it.
Yeah. I don't think they would, but I just don't believe in the Patriots.
I get that.
Tom Brady's not playing well.
No.
That's a long road not getting the bye week, and they're not at home in the AFC Championship game. That defense is great. They're good enough to slow down Lamar Jackson. I just don't know if there's enough points to be scored there for them to win a shootout against a team like Kansas City if they had to. He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. That is your playoff bracket as we get ready for postseason football in the NFL starting on Saturday. Next, Bruce Allen is gone, and it looks like changes to the training staff coming as well. Head trainer Larry Hess out after nearly 20 years with the team. Are there any other moves you think Dan Snyder has to make as he cleans house? What do you want to see done next for the Redskins? We'll answer that on The Fan. There was all kinds of turmoil and controversy in some of the reporting over the New Year's holiday. I said weekend earlier. It felt like a weekend. It was actually in the middle of the week. Eric Schaefer was supposedly out, but then he was staying. Now, everything I've heard really all along was that he was going to be safe, that he is a valued member of the front office and the Redskins want nothing to do with trying to replace him. He's got all the skills that Bruce Allen had, and so he's going to be doing all the things that Bruce was doing as the quote-unquote team president in a lot of ways moving forward. But changes have been made, including Bruce Allen being fired and Larry Hess, the head trainer, being removed from his post. More could be coming. We don't yet know what is going on with Doug Williams or Alex Santos, some of the guys who have been working for Bruce Allen for years. Kyle Smith, who runs the draft for the Washington Redskins and has done so very successfully. We still don't have an idea yet, Danny, as to the coaching staff. In specifics, you know, the report was Bill Callahan is out. We get that. Interim head coach tag removed. Does he go back to being the O-line coach or does he start a new, fresh somewhere else? What about Kevin O'Connell? What about Nick Katzer, the special teams coach who had a really successful year last year as punters going to the Pro Bowl? We've had Tressway and Nick Sundberg, among others, on the show raving about him. So all those things are going to be determined here starting today when Ron Rivera is introduced at 2. But what do you want to see done next? What's your priority for the Redskins as they try to clean house to start 2020?
So I've got two, kind of 1 and 1A here. The biggest thing for me organizationally from that perspective is where's my general manager? Where is it? Kyle Smith? Is it, if it's Doug Williams, I'll object to that, but at least somebody, right? I want Ron Rivera to report in effect to a football person. I want that. I don't want the coach to be the general manager. We know that. I'm still optimistic that they may ultimately sign one. Maybe they're waiting for something. I don't know, but I'm hoping that that's what happens. That to me is the biggest thing this organization needs now and has needed really for 21 years.
Are you okay if you find out ultimately, like let's say they don't have a GM for months, and then after the draft they bring someone in and it becomes pretty clear they had a plan all along, but either that guy had a contract that needed to expire or that guy wasn't being let go by his other team until after the draft. Like what if, and I'm spitballing, this isn't me.
No, understood. Right.
What if in the middle of May, in 4 months, they hire Marty Herney as their GM from Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really like a master plan they set into motion now, but they just had to play the waiting game.
Right. It's not ideal for me, you know, because it just means that it's there's only one guy and they didn't beat the bushes for, and you know, the next best candidate. And I like Herney. I think he's pretty good. He's undone some of Gettleman's mess down there, even though their year didn't go, obviously, according to plan this season. But, yeah, so I wouldn't hate that. I just want to make sure it's in the plans. If there's no plan to do it, I'll object to that. And so we have to wait and see, obviously, because that may be the case, certainly. So that's my number one. My 1A is dramatic, enormous upgrades to Redskins Park. It's the 32nd out of 32 in terms of facilities. It's infinitely worse than what Dwayne Haskins was used to just a year ago at Ohio State. Upgraded. It's not just repainting and replacing the carpeting that they did a couple seasons ago or whatever the hell it is that Richmond helped pay for.
Why is the carpet replaced, Todd?
I don't know, Marco. Massive upgrades. Fix it. Make it a crown jewel. Make it great. He's waiting, talking about Dan Dan, for a new stadium, and he wants that to be part of the deal. I guarantee, I don't know that for a fact. I'm just betting. He's just biding his time, waiting for this bad facility to be upgraded.
Well, I got
to
imagine their next facility is going to be at the stadium, right? I mean, most teams, your facility is at the stadium, or at the very worst, it's near the stadium. It's in the same state. It's a nice little commute. It's not
2 hours on a, right. on a Sunday.
They used to drive Shanahan and some Jay Gruden and some of these guys crazy. Like, you train in one place where you live, and then for the game, you drive all the way around the Beltway for like an hour and a half, or you sit in traffic for 2.5 hours getting home from the game. So he might just be waiting. Don't you think, though, there's only so much lipstick you can put on that pig? I mean, they've invested a ton of money, millions and millions of dollars, into Redskins Park. And by most accounts, it still stinks.
Yeah.
Now, it's better. It's improved. They've done a lot of things to make it an improved version of what it once was, but the building is really old.
Yeah, it's they're not going to FedEx Field, right?
Right, they're not going to fix it until they have a new facility.
Which
is not.
And you're right now, it doesn't look like you're getting one until 2027.
So are you saying
whatever.
Just start right now, you're planning for a new Redskins Park in Ashburn, like in on your ground somewhere?
I just can't have it be the worst. You know what I mean? Like, the ones that were built 20, 30 years ago, they can be the worst, not yours. You need to have excellent facilities. You need to have the best available to you. You know, and the Redskins don't. And I think that's inexcusable for a multi-billion-dollar organization like this. You should strive to have the best. I can't imagine taking a recruiting trip to Seattle and then coming to Washington. At Seattle, you're on the lake. It's beautiful. It's pristine. It's the most advanced facilities in the world. And then you go to Ashburn, and it's close to One Loudoun, I suppose. That's great. Oh, it's 2 hours from where we play. We got to go stay at a hotel, you know, 80% of the way there on game days. It's ridiculous. It's the worst facility in the sport. Now, I haven't toured all 32. I just read what smart people tell me.
Yeah.
It's got to be better than that. This should be a priority.
So what's your first thing you're doing to add to the house cleaning is the question. What's next? 800-636-1067. What do you want to read that has happened? The first thing I would like to see is O'Connell retained and an announcement today by way of Rivera at his press conference. They don't need to put out a press release to say they're keeping a guy who's under contract. But he says, look, I've talked to Kevin. I like his vision for the team. We're keeping him.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a two-way street. He very well could have some say, but I'd like for him to meet Ron Rivera and want to be around and want to be here. So
Makes sense. Let's hope that's the
case. So I'll put that on my list. GM would be very high, but I happen to think that there's a plan at GM that you just can't execute right now.
I'm hopeful that that's the case, by the way.
If that is the case, and I'm assuming, I don't know, but I'll allow them to do that on their own time as they go, because I think Rivera is going to be heavily involved in picking that guy, whoever it is. Next thing for me, you have moved on from Larry Hess, who was for almost 20 years in this organization. He was your head trainer for many, many years. If he's out and you've made the decision you need to go in a different direction with your training staff after all the injuries of the last couple of years, you've seen a couple Redskins come out publicly and say or tweet things negatively about the training staff here recently. I would completely clean house with the training staff. I know some of those guys. I don't know them all well or personally. I'm speaking out of school. If I sit here and pretend to tell you who's great and who isn't, I have no idea.
One guy tapes ankles better than another guy.
Right.
You know that for sure? Of course not.
Here's what I would tell you, though. If you've gotten rid of the guy that ran the staff, and you have the track record of the last couple of years here, let's just start fresh.
Yeah.
New head coach, new coordinator, new training staff.
Yeah.
Let's just, the whole thing can be swapped out. I will bring in a new head trainer and all new assistants. I think I was told, I texted with Larry Hess for a couple of minutes after he was removed from his post, and he said to pass along, like, the Redskins fans, it's been an unbelievable journey and appreciated their support and really wanted people to know that they did everything they could, and you know, the coverage and what you guys have heard about him is not all great in the sense that they aren't popular. But his point is Redskins fans have been good to me and my family. And, you know, he wanted to thank them for their support over the years. But I asked him, I said, how many assistants do you have? And I hate this that I forgot. But he's basically, I think it was four assistants and interns, something like that.
Uh-huh.
Some of them might be great. I just think you need an entirely new staff. You're starting fresh, correct?
Yeah. Well,
you got rid of the head trainer. How about everyone goes and all new faces come in?
Add in the medical part of it too, right? Again,
doctors and everything.
Yeah, I've got a friend.
I'm okay with that.
Who works at a Nova hospital, and this is an amazing person, who's as far as I can tell a wonderful doctor. You know, they don't work for the Redskins specifically, and they know a lot of the people that do. Just the results just haven't been there. It's not necessarily an individual as a doctor is right or wrong. It's just that something systematically has gone awry, right? It just it isn't working.
Make changes to the medical side of things.
Yeah.
What would be kind of next? Let's go to Clark in Leesburg on GND on the Fan. What's up, Clark? How are you?
Good, guys. How are you?
Hey, great. What are you doing next on your hit list and to-do list if you're Dan Snyder?
Well, you know what? I've been listening to you guys. I think you guys are spot on. If they're going to clear out the medical staff and the training staff, I wanted to hear what you guys thought about Trent Williams. Would he possibly reconsider? Do we want him, or could we get a draft pick for him? And then, you know, for me, I'd like, no offense to Chase Young, but I'd like to see us back up and redo the offensive line. We got offensive or young receivers, a young quarterback. You know, if we're going to make all these house cleaning moves, let's do it. Let's back up out of the draft, get some linemen. What do you guys think?
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, bud.
You'll never have any issue here when you say draft big boys.
I know, right?
O or D, doesn't matter. And that's the foundation of the football team. A lot of Redskins fans are super pumped now and excited about the possibility of a Trent Williams return because Bruce Allen's out and they could be completely refurbishing the training staff.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry Hess is going to be gone, and maybe this means now you can bring Trent Williams back. I'm not doing that still. I'm trading him.
Yeah.
He will be 32 next season, and he has not played 16 games since 2013. That's kind of the end of my argument. Now, I like Trent Williams a lot. He is one of my favorite players that I have ever covered personally. Professionally, on the field, he's one of the best NFL players that I've ever covered.
Yeah.
He's got good football left in him. I'm not in a mode, realistically, where I'm winning this coming year. I'm trying to add talent. I think I could trade him and get a second round or a third round pick for him.
Yeah, could have been a first during the season.
Right.
You could have gotten a first.
Had you traded him when you should have and gotten a first, you'd be drafting again in the first round this year.
Yeah, bully for you.
Bruce Allen chose not to for some reason that'll never make any sense to me and screwed you over. But now you take your two, you take your three, whatever it is, and you get a player who might help you for many years to come. So I'm trading him. Do I think it is more likely that he comes back than it was a week ago? That goes without saying. If I'm Trent Williams, I would still want a fresh start. And if I'm the Redskins, I would say, thank you for everything. You're 32. You get hurt all the time. I will go in a different direction at this point.
Yeah, I think everybody would benefit from a trade at this stage, right? Because even if you do come back, there's still, you know, even if Trent Williams had pinned Bruce Allen as the guy and that was the reason for his problems, I think it still runs deeper than that, you know? And for me, I would have traded him before all this stuff happened, right? Going into this year, because you could have gotten something really special for him in a year that you were going to rebuild. Now you got to do that to get the best you can.
Ron Rivera is going to be introduced at Redskins Park in 30 minutes. Let's answer this question next. I kind of threw this out there on Monday and took some calls. If you've guys got thoughts, we'd love to hear from you at 800-636-1067. But how about this, Danny?
Mm-hmm.
If Ron Rivera didn't take this Redskins head coaching job, would he have gotten another job this offseason? We keep talking about this like the Redskins have outkicked their coverage to go get Ron Rivera, and they probably have. But how many other openings do you think he would have interviewed for, and would he have definitely gotten a job this year? Next on Grant and Danny on the Fan. He will try to come to Washington to change the culture. His first big move, bringing in highly regarded, revered defensive coordinator, Jack Del Rio, who has inherited two bad defenses as a DC and turned them into top two defenses the following season. Dead last to second in Carolina and 20th to second in Denver. Those two guys will be in the building today. I'm being told there will be several players on hand for the press conference as well. And Ron Rivera is going to call into Chad Dukes versus the World right after his press conference today. So make sure you're listening to The Fan all day long. Here is my question, though. We are all celebrating that the Redskins did as well as they did in this search, and I think correctly so.
Mm-hmm.
We're viewing this as them outkicking their coverage. I said on Monday people thought they'd have to show up to prom by themselves because they're fat and they're smelly and they're gross and, you know, they are a loner. But what actually happened is they walked in with a nice haircut. Danny, they shaved. They looked
nice.
Great.
Looked nice.
They got a tux on that they rented. They cleaned up really well. And they got a super cute chick on their arm. Maybe she's not the belle of the ball. Maybe there's someone at prom that's going to get a couple more eyeballs. But she's cute, man. She's a good-looking girl. She gets along with everybody. Everybody likes her.
Very popular.
They did very well for themselves. Here's my question, though. Do we know for sure that Rivera was going to be sought after by a bunch of other teams? Why would he not take interviews with multiple clubs? Why is it that he was hell-bent on the Redskins?
Great question.
Earlier, I gave you 11 reasons why the vacancy was better than people thought. Things like, don't forget about the young receiving core. Haskins looked good. You got the number two pick. You'll have money to spend. I'm not saying it's a terrible job. What I am saying is the Browns, the Giants, the other openings, you know, the Cowboys, if and when Jason Garrett's gone, which should be sometime today, apparently. We're still waiting to hear what's going on with Cherry Jones. I don't get what that's about. But all these other openings are every bit as good or better than the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
Devil's advocate for a second.
Yeah.
If Ron Rivera really was the bee's knees, shouldn't he be doing interviews with other teams like his former GM, Dave Gettleman, with the Giants?
It is a great question, and it's worth asking. Now, here's what I'll say. I don't know that he would have definitively gotten another gig, but he would have been a candidate for multiple spots.
You think he interviews with a bunch of those teams?
I think there'd have been no doubt in my mind he would have. I know he could have interviewed with the Giants, or probably would have. You mentioned the Gettleman connection. They need a nice little culture change there. You look in Cleveland. Now, Cleveland is a disaster because Haslam is Haslam, right? That's one of the worst owners in sports.
Haslam is Snyder AFC.
Yeah. And
probably worse, actually.
It may even be worse, honestly. I mean, he is as destructive and disastrous as any owner in sports. But they need a culture change as well. They need a strong personality to stand in there, but also to allow some of the smart people they've had on staff to thrive. That hasn't been the case, right? Freddie Kitchens was over his skis. I'm stunned they let John Dorsey go, to be honest with you. That to me is the quintessential football executive.
Makes no sense to me. But you know what happened, I think, from what I've gathered? So Paul DePodesta, who's the baseball executive that came over to help them in Cleveland, who was actually played by Jonah Hill in Moneyball.
Yeah, they made up a new character to kind of change the name. But yes.
That's Paul DePodesta.
Mm-hmm.
So that guy who's super analytical and is basically a numbers dude, he apparently got their last two coaching searches right. So when they hired or stuck with Hugh Jackson, I guess it was, I'm trying to remember the names now, but he really wanted, Sean McDermott. He's like, this is the guy. I'm telling you, this is the guy. He's the dude. They're like, no. We're going to go with our football people. And then the next one last year was when John Dorsey picked Freddie Kitchens.
Uh-huh.
Your boy from Moneyball, mm-hmm, Paul DePodesta, said, I think his choice was like Kevin Stefanski from the Minnesota Vikings or something.
Right.
And basically the point is they've told him, just leave the room for a second. We're good. And so I guess there's enough things like that behind the scenes where they're now going, well, he needs to have more say because he's been right and we've been wrong. But getting rid of John Dorsey is ridiculous to me. And I guess the reason they're doing it is because McDaniels, when they bring him in, or whoever they hire, is going to bring in their own GM, and Dorsey can't just be there with that guy.
Yeah, just it seems maybe you get that guy first and then do it. I don't know. It just seems to be that
I'm with
it's
you.
Awfully early just to say, another GM will come. Will they? Look, a great one will be here. I'm sure it'll happen, Mr. Haslam. But yeah, but the point is, I could absolutely see him getting looks. And I think Jerry Jones is hell-bent on the sexiest name available, be that Lincoln Riley, be that Urban Meyer, be that whomever. And Urban Meyer may get the job in Cleveland, I mean, depending on what rumor you believe. So I don't know that Rivera was definitively about to get hired, right? I do know that he would have been a candidate. And I think he's the kind of guy that when he gets in a room with you, might blow your socks off. You might go, you know what? Maybe this is exactly
Agreed. What
we need, right? So I don't know if it's definitive, but he'd have been a candidate.
All I can work with is the openings that are. And the Carolina Panthers are one of the openings. He ain't going there, okay?
Right.
They're probably going to hire Mike McCarthy. The Dallas Cowboys were one of the openings. I don't think he was a candidate for them. They're trying to make a splash. He might be a really good hire. He's probably the right hire for the Redskins. He's not a splash, per se. He's not sexy, necessarily. Jerry Jones wants to do the Lincoln Riley, Urban Meyer thing. If they go defensive, they're going Mike Zimmer if he gets blown out by Minnesota. Cleveland wants to pair Baker Mayfield with someone he can grow with. That's why you're seeing the McDaniels and the Matt Rhules linked to that job. Speaking of which, Matt Rhules apparently the leader and the front runner for the Giants. I think he would have interviewed there. Probably that's the spot where he would have been a candidate. I guess my only point is, you know, we're talking about the Redskins hitting a home run here by their standards to bring in Ron Rivera. And I'm just saying I agree. I think the reason it worked, though, is that they were looking for something nobody else was. Like, the other teams have all decided that they need to date a blonde, and the Redskins are like, no, I'll take a brunette. And they got a really hot brunette.
Meaning the offense, the CEO, defensive guy.
Yeah, exactly. They're the only team right now that is looking for a veteran defensive coach. Everyone else seems to want to do the McVay thing. And I think it worked out really well for them. And I give Dan Snyder credit for that because you weren't in a situation where you're competing for the same talent pool as those other teams.
You're going to lose.
You're getting the fourth or fifth best guy. Instead, you got the best of the thing that you're seeking that everyone else is minimizing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's something smart to that.
Yeah, they'd have gotten the Zach Taylor in the young,
exactly,
hot, up-and-comer sweepstakes.
Yeah, how many guys down that list do you go before you just take a guy who's like 32 and called plays once when someone had a nosebleed
strep
in the second quarter against the Jets? Joe's in Fredericksburg. What's up, dude? How are you?
Hey, fellas. I'm doing great. Happy New Year, by the way.
You too.
Hey, listen, I don't know if you guys have heard of or remember. You guys are a little younger than me, but back in the first time Gibbs was here, when the USFL disbanded, they got several great players, right? They got Ricky Sanders, Gary Clark.
Where's Ricky Sanders? Back.
Yeah, man.
Where is he?
That's what Ronald Reagan said at the White House. And never mind.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, exactly. That was awesome. Another player they got was this running back named Kelvin Bryant.
Uh-huh.
He was absolutely phenomenal. The guy was incredible, but he couldn't stay healthy. He was always getting hurt. Coach Gibbs cut him, and somebody asked him why he would cut Kelvin Bryant. And Gibbs said, well, he's always getting nicked. That's the way Gibbs put it. Well, you know, we're talking about the trainers and the injury troubles Redskins have been having the last few seasons. I think that one thing I'm hoping that Coach Rivera is going to change is they're going to look at these players that they're picking in these drafts and other places for durability, right? Because we look at like Doxson, he couldn't play his whole first season because he was sick, you know? Geis, obviously.
So many injuries, yeah.
You know, I don't think Doxson was ever sick.
He had that Achilles that no one could figure out what was wrong, so they just stopped playing.
Yeah, he got hurt, and it hurt his development, and next thing you know, I mean, he'll be in the league next year is my guess, but he's not right now.
Right.
It's hard to catch on when you get cut.
But
that's the hope,
I mean, it's impossible to predict. Sometimes guys are healthy forever, and then they can't get right in the pros, but you'd look for that as an attribute, potentially.
Ed in Bladensburg, you're on Grant and Danny. We are waiting for Ron Rivera to get to the podium in about 20 minutes to be introduced with the Redskins. How are you?
I'm doing good. I can't wait for this introduction. I need to see Jack Del Rio up there, even though he may not be up there for today's press conference.
He'll be in the room.
I love these two.
Apparently, what I was told was he does not want to kind of make it about him, so I don't know that he'll be involved in the media portion of it, but he's going to be there for sure.
Well, I'm okay if it doesn't matter to make it about him, because then he can show the players it's not all about you either. But this is why I think Ron Rivera would have gotten another job. Other than the Redskins, the New York Giants, just up 95, needed a head coach just like Ron Rivera. So, like you said, Grant, the culture change is what New York needed. The culture change is what Washington needed. Even though Dallas was in the mix, so-called, like you said, Jerry Jones likes to make these splash moves. So I think they were kind of out. Ron Rivera doesn't want to go to Cleveland because he's going to get fired in 1 year. At least the last couple of coaches here in D.C. have had at least 5 or 6 years to do something. So even though, in my opinion, in the past, there hasn't been no job security, Ron Rivera is going to get that here, in my opinion, on that 5 years. Now, I think also he took the job here because there's a lot of young, flashy receivers. There's a lot of young, flashy running backs. And he thinks that he can take away Haskins and not exactly do what he did with Cam Newton, but give him the plays that he's going to succeed in and allow him to do what he needs to do and not think that he has to have these 4,000-yard seasons and 40 touchdowns. You know, so I think Ryan Rivera would have got a job elsewhere than here. Yes, and it would have been New York, in my opinion.
Possibly. I don't know about the relationship between he and Gettleman. I happen to think that they're close because I've never heard otherwise. But who knows? I mean, you work with someone who gets dismissed and leave doesn't mean necessarily they just go bring you in right away.
Right.
Also, if you're Gettleman, you got one chance now. I mean, you better really be right.
You better be sure.
So possibly. I think if you were to tell me there's a team that would have hired him, I would pick the Giants.
That's probably the most likely. Again, you look for somebody that is going to be that culture changer, for someone that needs to rebuild. And Gettleman needs a security blanket, I think, for the way he's handled these last couple years. I mean, he's made bad decision after bad decision. So he could use an old faithful, I think, like Ron Rivera.
If you want to hop in before the Rivera press conference with some thoughts on today at Redskins Park, what a day it is. 800-636-1067 is the number. Plus, let's check in with our guy Evan Abrams of the Action Network next on G&D on the Fan. Just saw a picture posted from the media auditorium in Ashburn where today's press conference is going to be held. Two Redskins helmets on either side of the podium. The image I see, which was posted by John Keim, does not show any Super Bowl trophies.
What?
Today is normally a day where you break out the Super Bowl trophies when you introduce the new head coach. But they have not done that today.
It looks like, just the picture that Keim took, it looks like the old Bud Bowls, like at halftime.
Right, you know,
like,
right.
It looks like the helmets or the caps of the beer and they're facing off against each other.
I got to be honest, I want the Super Bowl trophies out there.
Do you?
A lot of people probably poke fun and say, oh, stop living in the past. You got three of those things, man. A lot of teams don't have any, have one. You got three of them. There's only a few days a year where they matter, really, and there's only a few days a decade, probably, every time you introduce a new head coach,
yeah,
where you get to show those off with any pride.
I smell what you're cooking.
Trot them out there.
I like the idea. I'm fine either way. If they brought them out, I'd probably make a joke about it, but I feel like it's okay. It's okay this time. We're trying to turn the page. It's been 30 years.
Evan Abrams is with us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline right now, sponsored by the Action Network. If you're looking for an edge, download the free Action Network app. Get live odds, expert analysis for every game. Evan, we want to talk about the NFL playoffs that kick off 4:35 Saturday afternoon with the Bills and the Texans. This is a game, as of right now, that, depending on the book, it looks like pretty much has the smallest over-under of any of the games, doesn't it?
Yeah, right now, first of all, thanks for having me on, guys. I mean, it's 44, and so is the Titans and Patriots. So both those games on Saturday, lowest total, obviously, with the higher totals on the Sunday games. But the fact with both of those games that's interesting is bettors can't really decide. It's 50-50 tickets in Tennessee, New England, and it's 51-49 Texans in the other game. So, I mean, games obviously getting a lot of action. They are playoff games, but bettors can't decide. 50-50 tickets and just a lot of action on that one.
Help me understand that Seattle-Philadelphia line. Is it just that Seattle's lost three of their last four, not playing great? I mean, it opened up, I think, Philadelphia favored by a point, and it's swung the other way a little bit, but people are looking at a close game, and I just don't buy this Philadelphia Eagles team. What are you thinking here?
Here's my issue with this. And first of all, I'll give you my issue, and then I'll tell you the market point of view. I don't like either of these teams, and I've been betting against them all season. So now that they sit here and play each other, with the Eagles having key pieces out all over the place, they're like a walking dead, and Seattle is basically run by a magician. You know, I mean, every single week when they win, it's Wilson back there figuring things out, and the Eagles have a good defensive line. So my feeling in the game, if I'm going to play it at all, is I'm probably going to look at the Eagles' money line and wait on it, because we are seeing some of the craziest ticket percentages you've ever seen. Seattle right now getting 85% of the tickets. So let me just give you a little bit of perspective here. So since 2003, only one playoff team has had even 75% of tickets at close. That was the 2009 Colts. So, I mean, this is just, you know, if this whole...
Evan, isn't that just an NFC East bashing? Like, we've been making fun of them all year, so you got to bet against the NFC East. Is that all that is?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's – listen, I think it's that. I think it's also the injuries, and I think it's Seattle. And I think it's the momentum behind – it's the NFC East, but I also think it's the injuries and the team and the weapons. It's Wentz back there with no wide receiver that has 500 yards this year. You know, there's just no weapons there.
Two things that jump out to me when I look at the Vikings-Saints game, and Evan Abrams of the Action Network joins us on Grant and Danny. First, the total in that game opened at 44.5 and is up to 49.5. That's crazy to me, and that depends obviously on where you're looking. But 5 points seems like a big jump, so try to explain that. And then second, what I can't fathom is that you talk about how crazy it is some of these games where everyone's picking the same team. Way more people are picking the Vikings than I would have thought, like 35% or so last time I saw. That's pretty stunning to me.
Yeah, so a few different things here. The total has skyrocketed, and I think it's skyrocketed for a few reasons. People are realizing where this is being played, okay? 29-13 is the over in indoor playoff games. So, I mean, people know that trend, and everyone knows Breeze in the Dome. So 82% of tickets on the over, 97% of the money. So all the overs pushing it. It's up to 50 at certain books right now. So that's completely understood. Now, Sunday, different than Saturday, right? So 67% of tickets we have on New Orleans. And to me, it's also understandable. I like Minnesota in this game, guys. They've got time. They've got time for rest. Cook, Madison, Thielen. This is the most rest these guys are going to have in a long time. And yes, we might get our Kirk Cousins game, but they're getting 8 points. And I think it actually might get a little bit higher. I mean, when we get to Sunday, by the time people lose their money most likely on Saturday, this could get to 8.5 and 9.
For the, I guess overall here, Grant asked this to me earlier, and I couldn't actually come up with a good answer. I just said kind of New England by default. But are any of these teams playing wild card weekend besides New Orleans, who we all seem to think is pretty good? Could any of these other teams make noise in the postseason and make a deep run?
So here's the issue. Josh Allen, Ryan Tannehill, Carson Wentz, guys are making their first playoff starts. Carson Wentz, right? Most people forget about that. But all these guys making their first playoff starts, I think it's tough to see. I like Tennessee in that game. So if Tennessee is going to actually pull the upset and do their thing, I mean, do they have a chance? Sure. I think if Buffalo or Houston move on, I think both of them are actually kind of dangerous. I think Houston's defense with Watt back could be good. And Buffalo, they're so stingy, and they're going to get points every single week in the playoffs. They've been getting points all year.
Evan, always love having you on. Thanks for the update. Appreciate the info.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
You got it. Couple of notes about the Redskins introductory press conference that's set to begin at the top of the hour in 7 minutes of Ron Rivera. Some pictures coming in. There is just a podium and microphone. So as I predicted earlier, I'm not expecting Dan Snyder to take questions. I think it'd be pretty easy with this setup for him to just send Ron Rivera up to the mic to talk. Jack Del Rio is on hand. He's walked in. He's not expected to speak today. I was told he's going to try to keep it all about Ron Rivera, but he is on hand. In the front row, you have Hall of Famer Darryl Green, among other former Redskins, Ken Harvey, Ricky Irvins, all showing up at the facility today. Jonathan Allen, I see in one picture, is there. Darius Geis and Adrian Peterson are also in the building as Ron Rivera is getting ready to be introduced. So a heavy presence of current and former Redskins players, which is pretty cool to see.
That's a good deal. Again, all anybody wants. Players, too. They're human beings. They want a reason to hope, too. And I think you're seeing that today.
Ron Rivera to be introduced at the top of the hour. You will hear the press conference right here on The Fan. He will be on the station with Chad this afternoon after his press conference introducing him with the Redskins. Real quick, the main thing you'd like to hear him say, or what is one thing you hope, maybe a news item that comes out of this?
Ultimately, his confidence in Haskins, I think, would be paramount. I'd love to hear what his plans are for maybe the other folks on staff. Probably not going to get that revealed today because a lot of conversations need to be had, but you'd like to hear, I really like Kevin O'Connell, or was impressed with him from afar, something to that effect.
I'd like to hear today definitively O'Connell is staying. I don't know that it'll go this far, but it'd be great to get certainty on some of the staff. If he gives you a list of the players that are, the coaches that are returning to help these players out, and says, you know, we're still working through it, but I can tell you definitively O'Connell and so are here.
I'd like to hear that.
I've got more interviews to do. Chad Dukes versus the World is up next. It'll kick off with the Rivera press conference. Thanks for listening to Grant and Danny. Of course, you can go to thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio for any of our podcasts.
And now we're watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.